You're listening to the New Mamas Podcast. Hey, everyone. You might notice that the audio is a little different today. I am podcasting from Panera. I've never podcasted from Panera before, but I could have rescheduled this session with Jessica, but I was just so excited to talk to her because she has a little newborn. Well, actually, is your baby technically still a newborn?
I think so. He's 7 weeks. When do they stop being a newborn?
I don't know. Is it eight? Is it 8 weeks? Is it 3 months? But anyway, Jessica is here with me. She had a baby in October. She's also the podcast host of the Baby Making Podcast, which I think is the cutest name. And I can't wait to hear all about it. But yeah, today we're just going to be talking all about newborn life, how she's doing as a new mama. We want to dive deep and hear everything. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm super excited. This is our first podcast since welcoming the baby. So he was supposed to be asleep, but he's like wide awake and ready to go. So I'm sure you'll hear him in the background at some point.
Perfect. We love a good baby gurgle in the background.
Yeah.
This is your first baby.
Yes.
And is the Baby Making Podcast, did you start that before you got pregnant?
I just jumping right into where I started with the podcast. I've always been like pretty obsessed with like all things pregnancy and babies. My first job was like, I was 13, I think. And I worked in like a nursery at a local church. And then all of my jobs since then were like nannying or working in a daycare. So I had always been around babies and super interested in labor and delivery and pregnancy. And
you go, girl. That is so cool.
So I originally wanted to be a labor and delivery nurse, and I started all of my pre-nursing classes, and once I finished them I was like, I don't think this is for me. So I went on and did something completely different.
What about it wasn't for you?
I was looking for more relationships and relationship building and people first care, and quickly realized that's not really the system we operate in.
So
we kind of focus on everything from preconception all the way through teen parenthood. I'm planning to have some grandmas on now that we have some immediate grandmas in our family. So I've just always been really interested in the whole pregnancy and birth process. And now that I'm a new mom, we'll probably be exploring a little bit more of what the new moms are experiencing in the first year.
I love that. I think that's so cool that you've always been into it. That was definitely the opposite of my experience. I went into labor knowing 0%. Literally knew nothing because I didn't want to know anything because I thought knowing would stress me out more. But the problem with not knowing anything is that you can't advocate for yourself. So I recognize now that that was wrong way to go.
Yeah.
But I want to hear about new mamahood. How has it been?
Pretty interesting. So we had kind of a rough start to our relationship in that his first week of life, he was in the NICU. So he had an infection and was having a hard time breathing. So he spent time at a NICU where we live in Illinois. So he was in downtown Chicago. We got off to not a rough start. He was healthy by the time we left and he was where he needed to go. But I didn't get that immediate bonding experience that I expected. And throughout my entire pregnancy, all I could think about was I had planned a home birth, and that's a whole other story. So I had planned a home birth. All I wanted, I knew what things I did and did not want, but my main priority was having my baby, pulling him up to my chest and having that bonding moment with him, and then getting into our bed and just being there for a week and doing nothing else. And we got the very opposite of that. He came out having a hard time breathing. I held him to my chest for maybe 20 minutes before they started doing some tests and getting him breathing and all of that. Yeah. And then, he spent the week in the NICU, and my husband and I were lucky enough to stay at the Ronald McDonald House near the hospital. So,
that's great.
Yeah, it was amazing. But I will say, doing postpartum at home is definitely preferable. So I feel like we didn't get that initial bonding that I was expecting, and that like was all my focus was about. But it in the first week that he was in the NICU and then coming home, I was actually just talking to a friend about it, that it felt like I was taking care of someone else's baby. And so, I mean, I loved him and I was attached to him just because I knew he was ours, but that like immediate connection did not come right away. And it could have been like the tiredness or the lack of initial bonding, or I don't know what it is, but it came quickly that like once we started to be home and have like our time in bed together, and like it didn't look like how I expected it to, and it came a little slowly in terms of that, but yeah, we're pretty obsessed with each other now. And he's like glued to my side at every moment. But yeah, I think that time in the NICU kind of changed what would have been, and that we didn't go through that like that rough first week home. So like everybody talks about the second night and that it's the worst and it's so difficult, and we didn't really get that. And so we came home with a baby who is like kind of on a schedule, who is sleeping really well. So he's definitely off his schedule now and just figuring out what when he wants to sleep and when he wants to eat. But yeah, we didn't get that first initial period of like the newborn chaos. So I'm kind of glad for that. But yeah, he sleeps really well. Since he came home, only wakes up like twice during the night and sleeps pretty much during the day. He's pretty chill. He'll only cry when he wants to eat. So things have been pretty good. I always hesitate, which I think I'll probably talk about it on my podcast as well. I hesitate to tell people how good of a baby he is, because I know that's not like the average experience. Like everyone toughs it through that first week and has a hard time getting into a groove. And we didn't experience that. But yeah, I definitely hesitate to tell people, because that's not everybody's experience.
It's not, and everyone has their own experience, but it is important to share that it has been good. I feel like now we've swung in the opposite direction culturally, where we almost are scared of talking about how good pregnancy can feel and how like okay labor can go. And like, you get what I'm saying? I understand what you're saying, because it isn't everyone's experience. And of course we want to honor everyone's experience, but you also had an experience as well, and it wasn't bad, and that's okay. And that's good to hear, because for a mom who's maybe looking at getting pregnant and having a baby, it's their first time or even their second time, it's nice to hear that it's not a total shit show every single time.
Like, yeah,
for everyone, you know?
I totally agree. I think we kind of have swung, I'm hoping we're swinging back to the middle. Yeah. Where we only like nobody talked about anything because we didn't want to scare people, or we were embarrassed to talk about our story, or felt that nobody wanted to hear it. And then we swung to this opposite side of like, we're hearing all the horror stories now, which I think has a place. I think it's important to share your experience. And, but I think there's a middle ground of like, everyone should be able to share their experience with the equal amount of attention. And and I kind of started that way through my pregnancy, and that I had a really easy pregnancy. I loved being pregnant, and I know a lot of people don't feel that way. So I hesitated to be like, things are great, and like I'm really loving it and enjoying it. And it was an interesting observation that things are a little sticky if you're like loving every second of it. You hesitate to share, or at least I did, because I know that there's people who don't enjoy any of it. So it's just been an interesting observation to me. Not everyone feels like they can share either way.
No, yeah, it's right. People are scared to share the bad, because that's probably the culture we grew up in, is shh, don't tell anyone you're suffering. There's nothing wrong with you. And then now it's don't tell everyone how good it is because that's just your experience. And most people have, like, it's so bizarre. It's been interesting. I'm glad you had the observation because I did too. Similarly, I had a pretty chill pregnancy. Like, despite I had gestational diabetes in the last few, whatever, when you get tested, and I had to stab myself with insulin, but it wasn't that bad. Like, I hate. And again, like that's, I'm feeling self-conscious saying that of like, it was pregnancy. It was what I expected of pregnancy. It was, I wonder also, it's like the labeling of these experiences too, with the words good and bad, like cause there's so much weight to it because it's just it's an experience. Like having a newborn at home, like there are moments that are bliss and there are moments that are chaotic. So it's hard to apply just like one label on it. Yeah, that's an interesting observation. But I same thing, I liked being pregnant and I look forward to being pregnant again. I look forward to labor again because I had a pretty normal, whatever normal, funny quotes, birth, like vaginal delivery. And yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, I remember after I finished pushing, like the first thing I said was, well, we're never doing that again.
Yeah.
Because it was so like it was painful, but now looking back, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to feel that again. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Women's
well, I
bodies
think,
are weird.
I know, and I think what's important to highlight what you just said is that it was what you expected, and I think that I think it's a little bit two-sided, and that like I know a little bit more than the average person about labor and delivery and pregnancy just because I'm a birth nerd and I'm into it. So I think everyone expected that like I would be a rock star at being pregnant or be a rock star in birth, which I think definitely helped. But then on the flip side, I felt like I knew too much. Like I knew all of the bad things that could happen. And so in the beginning of my pregnancy, I really had to be intentional about what kind of social media I was consuming, what kind of podcast I was consuming. I listened to a bunch of birth story podcasts just to normalize every different experience and that like no experience is good or bad. And, but was very careful not to consume the ones that had like infant loss or, miscarriage or anything like that, just because I just needed to protect like, hey, what you're experiencing is normal. It's what you expected. And, was just very intentional about what I consumed, but then also like where my own thoughts went. I talk about it on my podcast, but I'm a very naturally anxious person. So of course, yeah, I get those like racing thoughts that are like, oh my God, what's going to happen if blah, blah, blah. So I had to be really intentional there as well. So I think, and one of the things that I think helped me enjoy even like the terrible parts of pregnancy were that my husband and I plan on only having one kid as of right now. And so I was like, this is the only pregnancy I'm going to get, the only delivery, the only planning of what's going to happen. And I just wanted to enjoy every second of it. So it kind of helped me reframe, like I had horrible pubic pain. I had pubic symphysis dysfunction. So like every step hurt. Like in my pelvis. I got chiropractic care, which was incredible. It was specific to pregnant women. And it without that, I would have been miserable. But even with that, like I had to rationalize it in my own brain. Like this isn't abnormal and it's helping your body get ready to be able to carry your baby and be able to deliver your baby. So I had to really reframe what it was all going to look like. And I think I've had to do that in new motherhood too, just because that first initial period was not what I had expected. And it wasn't, it was an abnormal experience. And so I had to like quickly utilize those tools that I used in pregnancy and early labor to be like, okay, this is just part of the experience. This is what it is. And, yeah, it's interesting to look back on.
Yeah, exactly. I love that you were able to access those tools in a moment that was so critical, because that's when trauma, I think that's when a lot of women get birth trauma, is that experience is so out of character, out of body, wasn't expected, that the brain is registering it as a traumatic event of where you're really not safe for the person or the little thing that you love. is not safe. So that's great to hear. How has your mental health been, like, despite the NICU experience? Like, what have you observed over the last 8 weeks?
Yeah, so I want to say I really fully understood the whole, like, maternal instinct, like mama bear instinct, and that, like, the second I knew something was wrong, that I'm of the two of me and my husband, I'm by far the most emotional. And so he's
relatable.
Like, yeah, he's like, he's the rock. He's like, we're fine. It'll get go, like, we'll be good. But in this scenario, it was the complete opposite. And I quickly realized, like, you have to get it together. And, like, you need to turn off your emotions and assess what's happening and be able to take in the information and have it be just that, like, taking the information, what's next, what's the plan. Whereas my husband was the opposite and, like, super emotional. He wound up going with the baby to the nursery right away and came back and was like a disaster. And I was like, I can't be that also. So I had to, like, turn off. It wasn't even a conscious choice. I just turned off my emotions and, like, had to be like, what's the plan? What's going on next? And I think I've stayed in that for quite a while. But I was telling my husband that this week I'm starting to feel it a little bit more. Like, feel like we're finally settled. I'm not in that, like, heightened state of, like, newbornness. I don't even know how to describe it. But, like, I feel like you're just in this heightened state of, like, just figuring it out and what your life looks like now. So I think we're getting a little bit more settled, which has allowed me the opportunity to be like, okay, what am I really feeling? And like I mentioned, our birth process was pretty crazy as well. I went from having a home birth to a hospital birth and then immediately right to the NICU. And we spent a week there, and I did all my postpartum stuff in, like, a hotel room, and it was just crazy. So I think I'm starting to finally be like, okay, where am I at with things? Mm-hmm. And so I tried to be a little bit proactive, and my husband and I are very similar, and, like, we just have to laugh through things when they're terrible, because if not, we'll, like, fall apart. Like, there was literally nothing else we could do during the whole experience but to, like, joke about things. And so we were bringing him home, and I, because of the podcast, I have interviewed some other people who are, like, birth trauma specialists or, like, mental health specialists. And on our way to go meet him at the NICU, our son, we were just joking, like, we're gonna need to do, like, a deep dive on this whole experience. I, like, labored for a week straight and had, like, prodromal labor for several days, and then the delivery was crazy, and then the NICU. So we just joked, like, we're gonna need a lot of therapy after this. So it was, I mean, behind every joke is a serious intention. So we definitely, I reached out to someone while we were doing the NICU experience to be like, hey, we're gonna need someone, and not necessarily right now, but, like, we're gonna need to see someone about this. So we are gonna talk to a birth trauma specialist to, like, process through it all, because I have a feeling that if I don't, I think I've been intentional about not digging into it until I have the tools and, like, capacity to do it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm getting there now, but I also didn't, I kind of know myself and that it would show up in very weird ways or weird times. And I didn't want him to be, like, 15 and I'm, like, just experiencing, like, going through his birth.
For sure. Which happens.
Yeah. So, and I know a lot of people will experience it within, like, the first year, or, like, mm-hmm. the first birthday comes and it's like, well, I didn't really process what the whole experience was. So yeah, I was really intentional about wanting to address that early on. And I, to be honest, I don't know that I could have done it in these last 7 to 8 weeks, just because there's so much other overwhelm going on with, like, figuring things out. So yeah, I'm a huge advocate for, like, preparing ahead, but then also, like, knowing what's right for you. And I'm beginning to be, like, all about, like, intuition and, like, knowing when things are, trusting yourself and knowing when things are right for you.
That's so good. I love that you are being proactive. It's something that my husband and I literally are trying to do now. If I had, like, one piece of advice for any, like, pregnant mama or family that wants to be pregnant, is get, if you can have like a relationship coach or a relationship therapist like on tap, that's like, it's just so helpful. Because I feel like having a newborn, even an easy newborn, because say my son, for like all things considered, was a very chill, easy baby. But my mind, and you know what? Good thing he was, because my mind was like very not okay. So like even with an easy baby, you still might have conflict or just like strain. And if you don't deal with it right away, which I mean, not everything you can deal with like can be dealt with right away, kind of what you're explaining now, like you're in survival mode. You're an infant, like baby, newborn survival mode. Like things, I know for me, I feel like things didn't sink in until about 6 months. And then it was like, I feel like it, everything kind of came in waves for me. Like,
Yeah,
I
I
don't
think
know.
that's normal.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like you love your new life, but then you also mourn certain aspects of the life you had or the relationship you had before, but at the same time, combined with the excitement and love for this new state, like there's, it's all things can be true at once, which I think in your mind can be also very confusing. So, but anyway, long story short, my husband and I are trying to be proactive and get a start a relationship with a marriage counselor or someone, so that way when conflict does arise in the future, we have a third party that can help mediate and guide us into a solution, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
Because
absolutely.
we're trying.
I'm such a huge advocate for like everyone should go to therapy. Like everyone has something that they could be talking about, but I get it's not for everybody. But if like one person of the couple is going, you still have that third party person who's like, "Hey, try this," or like communication is huge, and it's always been for me and my husband. So I think going into it, we were like, we don't really know what to expect or what's like, we can plan for it all day, but I definitely, we were very lucky in that we were on the same page and able to like peacefully communicate with each other in these first few weeks. But there's gonna be, it's chaos, and there's gonna be a point where it's like we're frustrated with each other or we're tired, and you can only be patient with each other for so long.
It's,
So,
oh yeah, when you're tired, it doesn't matter how much you love. Like even on my toddler, like this now, my son's 2.5 now. Like we had a very long, annoying night with like losing power and our house was freezing, and this morning was just a complete cluster. And my son was just being like silly and funny, and I found myself getting like a little bit short fused with him of being like, stop wiggling so I can put your clothes on, like, and I don't want to feel like that, but it, with the moment, like you said, like you can only be patient for so, like when you're tired and like dehydrated, usually when you're like a new mom, like it's crazy. But I love to hear that. I love how intentional you are about this whole process.
And I think I've seen so many people, I've seen so many different experiences and was very lucky. I just feel very lucky in the position I've placed myself in with the podcast and really exploring the things that I'm interested in, but it's mostly like the things that I'm afraid of and like
Ooh.
getting more information about things definitely helps me to be like, okay, this person did it and got through it, or this person did it and is still working through it, but that like it's still doable. It's still hap like life still happens, which is always hard for me. Like I've had this earth-shattering experience, like the rest of the world is still going on. How is that possible? So I think I've been able to start this podcast and kind of get a deeper look at things that I'm a little worried about or interested in and kind of reframe things for myself, knowing how like anxious and nervous of a person I am in general. So I think that that's definitely like guided me through the experience for sure.
Hey everyone, it's your host, Lena Forrestal, taking a quick break from this podcast episode to ask you to support the show. I do this show because I love it, and as a self-funded creator, your support can help me pay for things like podcast hosting and an editor. So here's how you can help. Share this episode with a mom friend, caretaker, or soon-to-be mom friend. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you wanted to throw me some coins, you can donate to the show at buymeacoffee.com/newmamaspodcast. Any little bit helps, and I appreciate your support. Finally, give me a follow on Instagram at Lena Forrestal. I love meeting my listeners, so definitely send me a DM and introduce yourself. Now, let's get back to the show.
I kind of wish I had been a guest on a podcast, or I had podcasted in those first, you know, those first newborn moments, because I wonder, like, who was I? Like, was I like calm and cool on the surface, but then on the inside, just a wreck? Like, or was I the, like, I just, you look back and you're like, I don't know. And you probably even look back on like yourself, even just 7 weeks ago, like, you're like, this is, you know what I feel like it is? I feel like when we become new moms, I almost feel like we're like shedding layers. Like, you know how bugs like have an exoskeleton? They keep coming out of like the different layers. That's what I feel like being a new mom is like. Like, we just keep shedding these layers. It's just like so interesting.
Yeah. And I think we start that in pregnancy. I think whether we realize it, a lot of people I think don't realize it, but I'm like hyper in tune to myself. So I saw myself like towards the middle to end of my pregnancy really being like that whole like mama bear instinct of like, I'm definitely a people pleaser type person. And
me too.
Yeah.
Working on it.
That's a lifelong work, I feel like. But I definitely recall being like, I don't have the capacity to do it anymore. Like, I'm on the phone with customer service. I don't have the capacity to be like, well, can we try this? Can we do X, Y, Z? Like, this is what I need. I need your help. Like, not in a rude or demeaning way, but like, I need your help. Here's what I need. Like, being efficient with my words, continuing to be kind, but then like getting what I needed. And if I couldn't, then finding a solution for that. So I feel like I was able to kind of like take out the fluffiness of the way that I was before, just by necessity. Like, I didn't have the emotional capacity to like go through being a people pleaser, and I'm hopeful I can take that through motherhood. But it was an interesting transformation, I'll say, without being like too dramatic, to kind of watch myself become this different person, that like my priorities immediately changed, and just my focuses on what things were important to me. Like, there are some things that were highly important to me as a non-pregnant person that wound up being like very unimportant to me as a pregnant person, just because I was like, I don't have the energy to focus on whatever was bothering me at the point in time. But
Do you have an example of that you could share?
I would say probably work. So I manage a team of 8 people. I'm the project manager for a behavioral health team. And I think in times that, I mean, I hate conflict, but I will do it when I have to. So to say like, just a general example would be like, there's a conflict, there's an issue that needs to be addressed that I don't necessarily want to deal with. But I'll preface by saying I had really bad pregnancy brain, and that like it took so much extra work for me to like put a sentence together that I was like, I have to be really intentional with my words. I need to get from point A to point B, because I was preparing for my leave. So I was like, this is an issue that's coming up that like needs to be addressed, but it's so not a big deal, just to be like, hey, here's the issue. Here's what I'm thinking we could do in a kind and compassionate way, address it, instead of being like breadcrumbing like someone and hoping they get to the solution that you want them to get to. I found myself trying to be a lot more efficient with my words and saying like, hey, here's the issue. Here's what I think we need to do. Let's talk about this. I think just being more intentional about where my focus was, that like I have XYZ other projects to work on. I'm obviously connected to the people that I work with, but there didn't need to be so much focus on like, I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I don't want to be uncomfortable, because just because you're being assertive doesn't mean you can't also be very kind. And so I definitely learned that in pregnancy, and hopeful to take it through new motherhood.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. And I resonated with so much of what you said, because I am also, I'm a recovering people pleaser, and I've definitely gotten much better at conflict. I've also had the similar experience of just when you become a mom, your threshold for BS diminishes. So you do just don't have the space to give people too many free passes. Like, it's actually okay to say, this behavior is unacceptable. This is what I expect from you moving forward. And you can, yeah, you can be firm and assertive and still be a nice person. It's okay to lay out your expectations. I think that's like one of the things I learned. Like, it's okay to expect better of people. Like, you don't need to be someone's punching bag or their doormat. Like, that's not being a nice person. Like, I realize.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest learnings, because when you're a mom, like, it's like you represent, like when you start to represent your son or your child, I don't know. It's almost like this, I had like an out of body. Like, I wasn't me anymore. Like, if it's me talking to like the daycare director advocating for my son, like all of a sudden, like that shell of that, like kind of scared little girl who didn't want to upset authority figures, like disappeared. And I became, like you said, mama bear. Like, it was just, no, how dare you?
Like, it's so funny, because I would joke with my husband. I'd be like, am I a Karen? Like, I think I understand the Karens of the world now. Like, am I a Karen?
I'm dead.
So, like, obviously I'm not. But yeah, it's just like your threshold for caring what people think about you or how they're going to perceive you. Like, you know your intention. Obviously, remaining being kind to people is so huge to me.
Yes.
And that you can be efficient with your words and kind at the same time and get to the same end point, but just maybe a little faster.
Yeah, exactly. Like, clear, like I think it's Brene Brown, like she coined the phrase, like, clear is kind, like being very clear. And I feel like in the past, because I was such a people pleaser, I was not very clear with my expectations or what I wanted, even in my own relationship, honestly, like even with my husband, because, like, of course, like, I love him so much. I don't want to inconvenience, like my whole thing is like, I don't want to inconvenience you. Like, actually, a perfect example is sending food back, like at a restaurant. Like, the food literally has to have like feces on it for me to like send it back. Like, I just don't like to inconvenience anybody. But that does change. Like, and it has to change though, because that's not kind to yourself or to anyone.
Yeah. And so, I think just like thinking how you would want people to speak with you in the same way, like we keep going back to like the, it's, I think diminished mental space is probably not the best phrase I could use, but like, you literally just don't have the space to like him and haw about different things, and I want others to communicate with me in a way that's efficient, and saying like, I would rather someone be like, hey, this is what I need from you, how can we get it, what do we do from here, rather than being like, well, there's X, and then it's a week long of a conversation. So like, I would so much rather someone be to the point and efficient than to like kind of be fluffy with me. And not everybody is that way, and I think it's important to mention everybody who you communicate with is different. And I think if you're a perceptive person, you can pick up on who can handle that type of communication and who might need like a little extra fluff. But I think, like you said, being clear can be done many different ways. So I think just like assessing the situation, and like you said, I think it's that same way with your partner or your family. That's a huge thing. Like, what I'm very lucky in that like my in-laws and my parents are very like arm's distance in a positive way. Like, we're not going to pry too much. We're not going to like insert ourselves. Like, you let us know when you want us around or when you need us to do X, Y, Z. And, that's another great example too. I really wanted freezer meals for after the baby came, and I didn't want to make them. So I asked my mother-in-law to make some for us, but then, so I could make the ask, but I felt rude asking for exactly the type of meals we wanted. And so I quickly got over it and was like, whatever. I'm sure she would rather me be like, hey, this is what we want, than to like guess about what it was that we were looking for. So I think, but it's important too, to be like clear and kind in those spaces as well.
You bring up such a good point, like on the receiving end, like you want the other person to be clear about what they want, because you also want to be a good person for them too. Like I could, like if I were providing you freezer meals, yeah, I'd be like, Jess, tell me exactly what you want. Like, do you want you want lasagnas or you want salads? Like, you want chickpeas or you want like black beans? Like, tell me, just be honest, because I will do that for you, right? Because that's like, yeah, that's so good. Oh, I love to hear that about your family. That's always like an area of contention for many people.
Yeah. And again, we're very lucky in that.
Yeah.
I don't know many other people who have that same scenario. So yeah, we're very lucky in that way that our parents are like, let us know when you need us. And we'll be like, if we haven't checked in a while, be like, hey, how are things going? But not too
invasive. That's great. What do you think has been the most challenging part of newborn life?
I would say the lack of routine for me is challenging. I'm kind of a person that needs to like know what to expect every day. And I,
me too.
And whenever I talk about this, I always tell people that my mom would say every morning I would wake up and say, what are we going to do today? Like I needed to know what was going on. And I didn't need to know like down to the detail, but like, we're going to go to the library today or we're going to the park today. Like every day I would wake up and say, what are we going to do today? And it's funny because I'll ask my husband every day, what does your day look like today? Like, I just need to know what's happening around me to be able to be like, okay, things are settled and figured out. And that is so not newborn life. And it has been a huge challenge to me to not have a routine and just kind of like go with the flow of where we're at. And I had to force myself into it pretty quickly because we didn't have that time of like, he was already a week old when we brought him home. So he's like kind of already an established human being. And we were like, okay, like we have to, I feel like when you bring your baby home, you're like assuming that they're just going to fit right into your life. And for the most part, he has. But I think I didn't realize, like, he sleeps and he eats and that's pretty much it. But I don't think I realized just how much time I wasn't going to have to do things. So I fully expected like, oh, he's sleeping, I'm going to do laundry, or he's sleeping, I'm going to go through these bags and bags of gifts that we have, or he's sleeping, I'm going to change our sheets in our bedroom. Like, I don't think I realized how much time I was not going to have. And I couldn't really figure it out. I couldn't, I mean, to this day, I still can't figure it out, but like, I didn't really figure out where that was coming from. Like, he's sleeping. What, like, I could throw him in a, like, I have a carrier on now. I could throw him in a carrier and do this stuff. He's antsy and moving around and he's up, he's awake and his eyes are closed. And I didn't really realize that there wasn't going to be as little time available as I thought there would be to like get stuff done. And so I have a hard time in general, just as a person outside of being a mom, that I have a problem feeling unproductive. And my husband has picked up huge slack here on the home front. And I just have felt very unproductive and like I'm doing nothing and like things are piling up. And the one thing, I mean, there are many things I could tell myself to like get out of that space, but the one thing that will quickly get me out of it and allow me to just like lay on the couch carefree with my baby is that we don't have this time for long, and that like he's quickly going to want independence and not want to be with, like, maybe that's years down the road, but like I'm never getting this time frame back. And so who cares if the laundry is piling up and our bedroom's a mess and there's no lunches made. Like that's the one thing that'll get me into a place that's like, this is okay. Like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. You're gonna, and I know myself, I'll look back and regret like, why did I care about like having a new set of sheets on my bed? Like it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. So I think it was a challenge to, it was surprising to me not to have as much time available as I thought I would. And then additionally a challenge to figure out how to like reframe that for myself and that like, there's a reason that exists. And very soon he'll be taking regularly scheduled naps and at whatever time he'll be going down for X amount of time. And one day we will get into a routine, but right now, like, he needs me. He constantly wants to be on me, and that's not going to happen forever. So, yeah, reframing that has been helpful.
That's great. Again, I can relate. I actually thought, literally, I remember being pregnant and being like, I can't wait for maternity leave because I'll have so much time to work on my blog and I'm going to crank out so many blog posts and, oh, you know, maybe I'll get back into photography. Like, I literally, I don't know what went through my mind. I thought I was going to have so much time because everyone tells you, oh, all they do is sleep. But what they don't tell you is they also cluster feed and they sleep their best on you. Like my son slept the best when he was like, which I know you're not technically supposed to do, but he slept best on the boob. So I just, you know, I can't tell you how many reality shows I started watching and like binge watched like so many shows. Like I started reading books, like same thing. Like I actually have trouble relaxing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah, it's that anxious brain that's like, what's going on? What should we be doing?
Yeah.
But
you're like spot on about your experience of like, this only happens once because it's true. Like I literally look back on pictures of me holding my son on the couch and I cry. Oh, there he is. Look at him.
Yeah.
Oh, what a cutie.
Yeah.
I'll give you back your mommy soon.
Yeah.
No, I look back on pictures and I cry because those were like, it was hard, but it was such a beautiful, like, oh, there's nothing better than the feeling of like your little baby, like, right. Like, just like you have him now. Like holding him, like there's nothing better. That feeling is amazing. And now sometimes I'll hold my, you know, 35-pound toddler and like a baby, and he looks cute, but I'm like, God, you're huge.
Yeah. And I will say, at the very least, I just want to be holding him all the time. Like I never want to put him down. And I have given myself permission to do that. It's exactly what we're supposed to be doing right now. And I'm sure once I get into it therapy wise, I'm sure part of it is because I didn't get to bond with him the way I thought I would, which is a whole other thing. But another thing that I just thought of about like being surprised about was being like nervous or not even nervous, just like anxious about other people holding him. I'm like, I'm so surprised.
Are you anxious about other people holding him, or
it's not that I'm like worried someone's gonna drop him or they're not holding him right or they're not gonna be able to settle him. It is this like primal feeling that's like, okay, give me my baby back.
Like big yes. Oh my God, you phrased it so perfectly.
Yeah, and I didn't expect that whatsoever.
I didn't either. I had really bad postpartum anxiety. So I actually, my extreme was like, I was seeing my husband hold him. I was like, give back my baby. Like, and that's like, that's John's kid. And I was scared, literally terrified of watching. I was like, don't trip. Like, no, everything you said, like, I was scared he was going to drop him. I was scared he wasn't holding him right. Like, I was scared he was going to, like, I was so nervous. But still that feeling, like, even when we had friends come over very rarely, because it was also during COVID. But when we did and someone else held him, you feel that, like, it's hard to explain. That, like, it's almost like this invisible tether that's between you and your child and someone's yanking it.
Yeah.
And you're like, I need that back.
Yeah. No, that's exactly how I feel. And I didn't expect it. My sister has she's pregnant with her fourth baby now. So So she has 4-year-old who will be 5 and a set of 2-year-old twins who will be 3 soon. And we're like used to just passing the babies around and it's no big deal. And I will say I'm a little bit more comfortable with my own family. I think that's just like a comfortability thing. And like, those are my people. And my mom works with kids. My sister has a ton of kids and is a teacher. And like, everyone's experienced in my family. So it's a little less nerve wracking for me. And I don't feel it as much. But I really didn't expect to be or feel that way.
Yeah. I love how you phrased it.
Yeah.
Well, Jess, with the time we have left, tell us where everyone can find you.
Yeah, so we are on Instagram and Facebook at the Baby Making Podcast. Everything from Instagram does go to Facebook, so whatever your preferred social media channel is. And then we are everywhere you can listen to podcasts. So Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever. We're on almost every platform, I want to say. So the next few weeks, we will be replaying our holiday series from last year. We talk a lot about like family boundaries, which interestingly enough, I'm going to have to utilize my own podcast to get through the holidays this year. So we talk about holidays and boundaries of family. We have a mother and stepmother duo on the podcast talking about co-parenting through the holidays. So that's for the rest of the year. And then I am planning for the whole year of 2023 to just do a deep dive on the things that I'm experiencing and finding out as a new mom. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Yeah, I will definitely be tuning into your holiday series. It's funny, those are the episode about boundaries is one I wanted to tackle myself on my podcast, but I just haven't found the right, like, I don't know, the right guest or that's such a huge topic, I will say, even just from my own network. So.
Yeah. And we talk a little bit about doing it as new parents, and that we had, I reached out to our audience to have people submit questions. And there was someone who would have like a 3-week-old or 4-week-old during the holiday times. And
so hard.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit more about what that would look like and what boundaries you could set up for yourself. And it's a good episode.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to listen.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Definitely give Jess and her podcast, the Baby Making Podcast, a follow on Instagram, subscribe to her show on all the networks. And thanks for tuning in. And we will be back next week with the next episode. And I promise the audio will be better because I won't be podcasting from a Panera Bread. All right, everyone. Talk to you later.
Thanks for joining us this week on the New Mamas Podcast. This podcast was created to help first-time moms everywhere navigate this new stage of life and talk about the honest and the raw moments in motherhood. I'm your host, Lena Forrestal. I'm a working mom by day and a blogger, photographer, and podcaster by mid-afternoon. And as a first-time mom myself, I'm on this journey with you. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And if you did, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. You can donate to the show at buymeacoffee.com/newmamaspodcast. Stay in touch by following us on Instagram at New Mamas Podcast and Lena Forrestal. Thanks again, and stay tuned next week for the next episode. Bye!